Pre-recorded from Joe's mom's basement, it's a rewind episode of the Stacking Benjamin Show. Hey everyone, I'm Griffin the intern, or as the ladies in my fourth period call me, the Fintern. For those of you who have been following along, the guys have been putting me through tests this whole week. First, the flash drive was on top of the heater, then the mic was in the bathroom. Pretty basic stuff, but I have to hand it to these guys, they got creative today. I came into what these guys call work, that's a whole different story. I sat down at the computer and couldn't find the flash drive anywhere. After an epic search of the basement, which involved canned peaches, dirty clothes, and maybe more than a little Febreze, I still couldn't find it. Finally, I decided, hey, it's Friday, I'm just gonna record what I can and get out of here. I turned on the computer and there was a Word page open telling me that the file was already uploaded and I just needed to record my part. And oh yeah, the last part was written by OG. He said, I'm supposed to be on vacation, couldn't be bothered to think of anything, tell the guys I left the flash drive on the roof. You passed test 3. Signed, OG. On today's show, we go back to May 7th of last year and episode 201 of the Stacking Benjamin Show. This show is a love story. Steve Stewart of Money Plan SOS podcast fame and the engineer of this podcast drove a company car named Impala, and it was going away. It was sad, but Steve needed a new car. What would he do? The guys talk about what Steve did and how he secured a fantastic new ride without breaking his budget on today's show, which originally aired Friday, May 8th, 2015. I'm pretty sure that if these guys talk about investments on this episode, honestly, just disregard it, because it's from so long ago. That's it for me. I think I passed this test, but yours is just beginning. Here's the show. Fintern out.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Well, our last show for this season, if you want to call it a season, of Stacking Benjamins. And this is a love story. See, a man once drove an Impala and he loved it very much. So much, in fact, that he'd do a segment on his podcast called Holla from the Impala. I'm talking about Steve Stewart from the Money Plan SOS podcast, of course. But Steve loves something even more, though. Freedom. And that beloved Impala, well, it was a company car and he had to give it back. I know it's a sad story, isn't it? So Steve needed a new ride. What was he going to do? We'll share Steve's money-saving car buying trip to Texas on today's show. Live from my parents' basement, it's The Short Stack, an interview with the Stacking Benjamins guest with an idea so good, Mom wanted us to add it to a special show all its own. Welcome to your basement home for all of us who find financial topics interesting. Does that make us financial nerds? Hells yeah, it does. And proud of it, right? We're all the way up to episode 201-C, and that C is for cash car. Financial guru Dave Ramsey says that you should pay cash for your cars, and Steve Stewart, my good friend and the host of the popular Money Plan SOS podcast, was going to follow that advice, which is why we call today's episode More Cash Car for Your Dollar. Let's do it. Before we say hello to Steve, we got to say a big thanks to everybody who's gone to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money to begin their credit card battle. If you're looking to refinance to lower interest rates or hoping for some 0% relief while you're paying down the cards, Magnify Money, they've got you covered. It's only a few clicks before you'll discover there are roads leading toward better financial products. We shop for everything, don't we? Why don't we shop our credit cards on the most thorough reviewer site on the internet? Head to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money. And I'll tell you what'll happen. Well, you'll be rewarded with savings that you can apply toward paying down your debt more quickly. And isn't that what we all want? Absolutely. Right now, we're going to talk about staying out of debt, and that's with your car. If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know the OG owns a really nice car and he paid cash for that. And his car cost a lot less than you would expect for such a nice ride. See, Dave Ramsey says, buy a junker if you're paying off debt, but others have taken that advice. They turned it into a lifestyle. Pay cash all the time for cars, but buy nice cars that you'll be proud to drive even after your money troubles are in the rearview mirror. I don't know exactly where Steve Stewart is financially, but in some ways I know his position right now is a little precarious. He just left a full-time job to go off on his own, doing something that a lot of people want to do, isn't it? To pursue his coaching and podcasting career full time. That's a pretty scary moment. So during that scary moment, it's more important than ever that he gets it right. So did he get the car buying experience right? And that is what our show is all about today. We'll share Steve's story with some help from a mystery guest. So let's say hello, Steve Stewart from Money Plan SOS, coming back for another trip down to the basement. This is a story about buying a car. Most people listening to this show have bought a car before, but maybe not like this. It starts off with someone who just might be a little more analytical about their car. Steve Stewart from Money Plan SOS, man. Welcome to the basement.
Analytical. I don't think you're going to hear that from when the story turns out the way it's going to.
Well, it ended up analytical, didn't it?
Sure. We'll call it that just because everything worked out.
So let's start this from step one. You were in the market for a new car. On the Money Plan SOS podcast, if people haven't heard, you always have this Holla from the Impala segment, right? Which I absolutely yeah. love, where Steve goes on a rant about credit card companies or people doing silly things with debt. But apparently, I'm guessing the Impala must have been dying. Is that true?
Well, it wasn't dying. I had left the day job and it was a company car, so I was giving it back. So there was a month of time there where my wife and I just had one car, and that was her Nissan Pathfinder. And I couldn't find a good way to call it Holla from the Pathfinder. So it was time to get a different car.
Yeah. So did you go out looking specifically for Impalas so you could keep the segment alive?
Well, I wasn't looking at Impalas specifically because I wanted to get something that I could pay cash for because I don't believe in debt. And there were some things that I didn't want in a car. I wasn't going to get a convertible. I wasn't going to get a big truck. I knew kind of what I wanted, but I was really open to just about anything. So we had a price point that we had in mind for how much we wanted to spend, which was between $6,000 to $8,000, top limit, maybe $10,000, just because I needed a get around car.
I want to ask you a couple of questions about that. The first one is you have some very big beliefs about buying yourself a new car. I should say a new to you car. Tell me about those beliefs.
Are you talking about the new to me car that could be a used car?
Absolutely.
I'm not sure what you mean. I mean, my beliefs are you just pay cash for it. You've got to have something that fits your needs. Like I said, I don't need a truck. I'm not hauling around timber or anything like that. And a sports car, I'm in my 40s. I've already gotten through my midlife crisis. So what's the sports car for? Though I wouldn't mind one of those new Camaros. I really do salivate when I see those guys on the road.
Yeah. When you talk about buying a car and paying cash, somebody listening to the show might be thinking, well, I don't have $8,000 laying around. Do you set up a fund, Steve, that's like a car payment fund, except you pay it to yourself ahead of time, like paying for the next car a month at a time?
We do. We have a line item in our budget that every month some money goes into that line item and it just accumulates. And eventually we get to, a couple thousand dollars. We move it into an online money market account just so we kind of forget that we have it until we need it. And that way we could just start building up a couple thousand dollars every few months so that when we do need to get a different vehicle, we've got the money for it. And we've also got a line item for car repair, so we don't have to dip into the other fund if something goes wrong with the one car that we had.
How do you feel when you're buying a car? For me, the process is just incredibly frustrating and annoying. And I always tell myself, I really need to know more about this topic, but I don't.
I remember the last time I actually physically went out and bought a car without my wife was over 15 years ago. And I remember going onto a car lot and I just feel like I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to be taken advantage of. I'm going to get scammed. And I think a lot of people think that way as well. So there are some tips and tricks you can use to make sure that you're not getting scammed. The big thing is to know what you're looking for and then just kind of do some research before you actually look at the car.
So do you know what you were looking for? You weren't looking for a truck, you weren't looking for a sports car, but did you have things you were specifically looking for?
I was an open book. It could be a four-door, it could be a two-door. It could have had a sunroof, it might not have. That's one thing that I didn't care too much about. I wasn't looking to see if I had to have the best gas mileage or how much trunk space.
So in this case,
I needed to just fit at least three people in the car at one time. That would probably be one of the main limitations.
In this case, it's a point A to point B vehicle.
It really is. I don't expect to be driving it too much, although I've got some conferences I might be driving down to Texarkana and Dallas to visit some people too.
So you aren't, we've made it clear, you are not a car buying expert.
Not at all.
So you did the next best thing though. You went and found one.
I know one personally. He's awesome too.
Yeah, well, let's see if we can find... wait a minute. I think we have him. James Kinson from the Cash Car Convert podcast. Welcome to the basement, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I can come from behind the shortwave now, right?
It's so funny giving Steve the surprise. Steve, you got goosebumps?
Woohoo!
Was it difficult being a podcaster? Because you know how we like to talk, James. Was it difficult staying quiet for that 5-minute period?
It absolutely was. I was dying to get in there.
So you had found a car that you thought might be great for one of your listeners. Tell that story.
Yeah. So one of the things I try and do, and as you know, and for those who don't know, I try to help people realize that they can find good cars in the $3,000 to $5,000 range. And so periodically, I'll just go out on Craigslist and I'll go and try and find a vehicle that I think looks like a good one. And I don't do the full vetting. Like I don't go out and look at it or call on it or anything like that. I say, hey, this looks like one that might be interesting. So I posted on my Facebook page about that and said, hey, somebody locally in the Dallas-Fort Worth area here might be able to find a good vehicle. And lo and behold, Steve comes back to me and says, hey, I might be interested in that if somebody would go look at it for me. And I said, well, I think I know somebody who can do that. And we progressed from there. At first, I kind of thought he might have been kidding, but he said, you know, I'm not really kidding.
Yeah, because for those people that don't know, Steve's in St. Louis, and that's not quite Dallas Metro. Might be a little bit outside the Dallas Metro area. When you say that you hadn't done any of the vetting yet, but it looked like it might be a target, what are those things that you find, James, that are the things that check the boxes of, okay, this is something that might be great for somebody's next vehicle?
Yeah, for me, I like to find one-owner vehicles. I like to find somebody who has records. I like to buy from an individual, not a dealership, so that I can check things out a little better. And this one tended to have all those checks in the boxes. On top of that, it was a Honda, which is a really good brand known for quality. If you go out and search on Craigslist for cars over 200,000 miles, you'll find a ton of Hondas and Toyotas out there. So you can feel like you're going to get a car that's going to last a while. The other thing was, is it actually had low miles. It had 120,000 miles. Now, to some people, that may not sound low until you realize we're talking about a 1998 Honda Civic. And it looked to be in excellent condition. There were lots of photos, which is another thing I like when I'm looking at something online. I like to see lots of photos. I want to know that the person took a lot of pictures. You know, I'm looking for sort of a pride of ownership in the vehicle. And I sensed all of that in reading the text about the car and then, you know, the details that I could see and find about it. I love it when people tell me they've got all the records because that tells me that they were meticulous enough to keep all those things. And the only thing that's better than that is if they tell me they've had it serviced at the dealership, which tells me they're willing to pay a little more to make sure they get it done right. So this one had all those checks in the boxes. All the photos looked good. It did not look like a car that had been mistreated. And so I felt like it was going to be a good car for somebody.
But you hadn't even called about it yet.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So then Steve says, this might be the car for me. What's the first step you two guys went through to make sure it was the right car for him?
Well, he actually just asked me to go out and take a look at it. So
and you
what
said,
I did
yeah,
is I called the gentleman who had it. And it turned out this guy was selling it for someone. And it was this lady who had owned the car since it was new. And she had loaned it out to, I believe it was her son, to drive for a while, and he had had a small accident and dented the hood.
Oh, no.
So this guy actually was fixing the hood, and the reason the lady took the car to him is because one of her other relatives works for this guy. So there was kind of a connection there, and she was a librarian. She didn't really know much about cars, and she wanted to sell it rather than let somebody else in her family maybe tear it up. She wanted it to go to a good home. So this guy said, well, look, I can help you with that. So he set up to put something out there on the internet about it. And so that's how we were able to find it. But, you know, when I talked to him, he seemed like a really good guy and he knew a lot about cars and he felt like this was going to be a good vehicle as well. So we arranged a time for me to go out and take a look at it. And I did. And it looked as clean as I thought it was going to. There was one little piece of trim that was kind of loose on it. There was a missing Civic logo on the back that I saw, but nothing really made me think ill of the vehicle. So what I did is I then took it up to Christian Brothers, and for $90, they will spend like an hour and a half going through a vehicle and making sure that it's going to work. And if they find any issues, then they'll call those out and they'll give you an estimate of cost. And so I did that. And after I spoke to them, they found a few relatively small things. They could have added up to a fair amount of money, however, but in talking to Steve and then talking to the gentleman who was selling the car, we felt like that was something we could work around. I had it through Christian Brothers, and by the way, I should add, Christian Brothers, the two guys that were working there said, listen, those particular year models, that 1998 year model of Civic is like, that's like the pinnacle for Honda. That's like when they were making the absolute best vehicles. And there's no doubt in my mind, this car will go more than double the miles it has on it already. And so I knew that was a good fit for Steve and a good fit for his criteria.
Hey, everybody. So was that a surprise? Did we surprise you with James Kinson? I hope so. It's great that both he and Steve are here to tell their story, but I have to take a quick break from talking with them to say thanks again to everybody who's gone to our sponsor's website using the stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money link. What you found if you've done that is it's easy to comparison shop in private without giving up any of your personal information, your savings account, your checking account, your credit cards, personal loans, all the above. And you know, those are the tools you're going to see more often in any day than any other tool. So maybe you're listening to Steve and James and you're thinking, you know, I need a cash car. Well, how about starting off by paying less in fees and having more interest? The best way to do that is head to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money. They'll ask you a few quick questions, none of them personal, as I mentioned, and you'll quickly have a list of the top ways to refinance your debt or the top savings accounts that are available. Whatever. It takes no time to compare, ditch, switch, and save. Head to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money to get it done. All right. So what's your car buying story? Any successes you don't mind sharing? Here's what I did. And this wasn't a cash car deal. It was actually a few years ago. And I got a fantastic financing rate. And I took advantage of it. We got a 1% loan rate, but that wasn't the cool part. The cool part was what I paid, because as you know, a lot of car dealers are interested in talking about monthly payments. Well, I wasn't interested in monthly payments. I was interested in saving money on the car. So here's what I did. I followed advice from Edmunds. We had the guys from Edmunds on our show a couple of years ago, and on the Edmunds site, they talked about how to deal with car dealers. And essentially, here's what you do. You find four dealers close by, you do your homework ahead of time, including the test drive, and then you ask all of them to make their best deal via email, letting them all know that you're comparing them with three others. And I have to tell you, $4,000, bam, immediately off on the price of the car without me asking. Once they knew that I had done my homework and that I was shopping them against each other, it was pretty amazing, and we scored a great deal. So how about your story? Whether it's a cash car or not, share that on our Facebook page at facebook.com/iStackBenjamins. Let's talk about cars this week. All right. Right now, though, let's get back to Steve and James and the cash car deal. Boy, that's good to know, too. I mean, there's no reason for them to tell you that besides them believing it. I mean, there's no upside to them or downside to them telling you that was a good or bad year.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, these guys, I mean, they had already done their work of vetting the car and saying, hey, you know, we've gone through it. Everything looks good. Here's a few things we might recommend you take a look at some point in the future. But in terms of just, you know, that model of vehicle, they said, yeah, it's just rock solid.
So, James, how much did you gouge Steve on that deal? Or can't you say with him in the room?
No, I better not say that with him in the room.
Steve, so did James tell you, did he say, hey, let's take this to the auto mechanic, these Christian Brothers guys, and see that they can have them take a look at it first?
No, actually, you know, when we first started talking, we set up a time to talk because James wanted to make sure that this was the right car for me. He was kind of pre-qualifying me for this other person's car they were selling. And then he offered to go out and take a look at it. I think it's because James just loves doing this. And I'm completely appreciative of it, of course, because he's in Dallas. I'm in St. Louis. There's no way I was going to get to take a look. So I really appreciated that he had the time and the desire to go out and actually take it to a place and actually get it inspected for me. I mean, he just went above and beyond. And that's just something that I wouldn't expect to do on my own. I'd probably forget half of the things he did.
But that $90, Steve, is, I mean, people think about that. The first thought is, well, I might not buy the vehicle. If I don't buy the vehicle, it's $90 out of pocket. But really, in the big scheme of things, if you're making a $6,000-$8,000 decision, that's a small price to pay.
Yeah, I think that's one thing I learned from James just from listening to his show and talking to him over the past couple of year and a half now, is that it's worth putting some money into the research piece of it. And of course, the inspection would be part of that. Because if you think about it, you know, this is a really big asset. And to buy a lemon would just be tragic. So $90, I mean, I didn't know how much it was going to be before he did it. He just went and did it. And he's calling me from the car. He's telling me he's test driving it. He's pushing all the buttons. He's like, oh, and I took it to this place, got an inspection done. So
he's telling you this car goes 180. I just tested it. Right. And the cop behind me does too. James, did you get, you know, they say to get like the Carfax. Did you get the Carfax?
He did have the Carfax there.
Oh, he already had it there.
Yeah, he did. He did. And the reason was, this is kind of interesting, he said people didn't believe that it was a one-owner car. And so he eventually had to get the Carfax to prove to people that it was, in fact, a one-owner car. And that is the easiest way to do it. And to Steve's point about the cost of doing your homework up front, to me, spending $50 to get three or four Carfax reports over a month time period when I'm looking for cars, that's a low investment to help me pre-qualify things before I waste my time and go out and see them. And, you know, spending money on a mechanics report, I mean, literally can save you thousands of dollars. I mean, if you buy the wrong vehicle, and then again, if you're looking in that $3,000 to $5,000 range, you could immediately turn around and be out $3,000 to $5,000 in repairs if you buy the wrong one. And the way I like to phrase it is you want to buy a cash car that's going to be a blessing to you. And if you buy the wrong one, it can be a real curse.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of pain up front for a lot of gain later on. Steve, did you make an offer of the asking price, or once James came back with some of those flaws in the car, did you go back and negotiate the price?
It was while James was in the car, we were talking about some of the things he discovered from the inspection. There was an oil leak and a couple other things that needed to be addressed. And we were able to get that fixed before I actually got the car. So after we got some of the issues either arranged or taken care of.
Did the prior owner pay for those fixes?
So after James identified some of those issues from the inspection, we negotiated with the guy who was selling it. And he actually was able to get some of the repairs done that we wanted to. And we did talk him down a little bit. So it was even a better deal than what he would originally advertise the price as.
Yeah. And they like you because you then came with cash.
I did actually come down with actual physical. I was telling the guy I was a little nervous about bringing a few thousand dollars and $100 bills through the TSA, but he said, oh, I've done it before. It's not a problem. So it's interesting, you know, walking around with that much money through an airport.
Yeah, because you save so much money that you very comfortably flew down there to get the car.
That was the craziest part of it is I took a chance. After James told me about this and we talked the guy down, he accepted. So I was kind of in a contract, a verbal contract to buy this car. So now I'm like, okay, now I have to go down there and buy this car. So 2 days before I flew down there, I went online, bought an airline ticket. And wouldn't you know, the morning that I fly out, there's horrible storms in Chicago where I had to make my connection through. My connection flight had been canceled before I even left the ground in St. Louis. But it all worked out and ended up still making it down to Dallas on the day that I needed to.
So the car now, okay, it's been a couple of weeks later. How's it driving?
It's driving the same day I picked it up. I mean, the funny thing is I'd kind of forgotten that it was a stick shift. Luckily, I knew how to drive a stick and I actually enjoy it. So yeah, who drives stick shift anymore?
I know what's funny, Steve. The car that I helped my kids purchase to drive was a stick shift. And I liked it for teenagers driving because driving a stick shift means you can't hold onto a cell phone while you're driving.
Absolutely. That's so true.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Joe, I want to jump in here and just add one thing. When we were talking about whether Steve should buy the car or not, I was kind of hemming and hawing on it and just kind of hedging my bet a little bit. And finally, he asked me, he said, well, if it were you, would you buy it? And I said, yeah, I would. And he says, well, then why aren't you just telling me to buy it? And I says, well, you're my friend and I want to keep you as my friend. And right, I don't want to, you know, lose you over a car. And as good as I feel about it, I know, in fact, that cars are mechanical and anything can go wrong at any point. So I'll just tell you, when Steve made that long drive back from Dallas to St. Louis, I was very happy to hear that he arrived and everything went well because I was feeling the pressure that I had better have delivered.
Well, we'll know that the car didn't last long term if I see a big fight between you guys at the lobby at FinCon this fall, right?
There you go. Yeah.
James and Steve won't talk to each other now because James knew all along. Turns out that this woman was James' grandmother.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And he finally got rid of the lemon. So tell everybody a little bit about your shows, guys. Steve, will start with you because you were our first victim on the show. Tell the few people who don't know about Money Plan SOS what the show's all about.
Yeah, go figure. I'm a podcaster on a podcast. Isn't that kind of meta?
It is. I think the three of us together is kind of meta. It's like this reunion.
There you go. Yeah. Money Plan SOS is the podcast. Been doing it since 2010. Love it. And it's really focused on helping people to pay attention, not interest.
And James, the Cash Car Convert is about the kind of stuff we talked about today, but you also have interesting guests about making more money and saving more money too. Tell people about the Cash Car Convert podcast.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So my show is really about helping people understand that they can find good cars in that $3,000 to $5,000 range. And I've got shows and episodes that talk them through a lot of the details of that. But then I also want to help people understand why they want to make that kind of sacrifice in their life. And so I have people come on who are successful entrepreneurs and talk about how they were able to make that leap from their day job to their dream job because they had their debt under control. They didn't have any payments that they were enslaved to, and they were able to follow their dream and save money to make that jump. So I have a variety of different kinds of guests, some inspirational, some personal development, some entrepreneurial, but it's all around that same real message that if you will do the things you need to do today, you can live a lot better in the future. And you know, I like to say, buy a cash car and kick auto debt to the curb.
Amen, brother. I'll have links to both of the shows in the show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. I guess my last question is, what do you think the biggest lesson is both of you guys learned during this process? James, I bet that question might be harder for you because you kind of followed the steps that you believe in, but any big takeaway from this process?
No, I mean, it's really what I want to do. I mean, I enjoy doing this. I enjoy helping people. I like looking for cars. To me, it's kind of like a detective story. You're trying to find, instead of trying to find the murderer, you're trying to find the good car. And I know that they're out there. Doing it for a friend, I felt a lot more pressure than when I'm doing it for myself because I do have confidence in my ability to do it. But if I make a bad decision, I know that I've got the margin in my life to take care of it. You know, again, with Steve, he was coming to me looking for my expertise and I didn't want to let him down. So those were kind of the two things. I was really happy to do it and I'm really glad it turned out well.
That's fantastic. Steve, biggest lesson from this process?
I would say that even with all the preparation I had in my mindset of saving up and then deciding on what car I wanted to buy, there was a fatal flaw in my process. And that was as soon as we negotiated the price, I hadn't really thought about going down to Dallas and getting this car. You know, how was I going to arrange to be picked up? And what happened if I didn't know how to drive stick shift? I mean, really? Wouldn't that be an amazing story? But it all worked out, thank God. But there were so many things that could have went wrong. So the thing is, you know, be purposeful, think about it, walk through the steps, envision the whole process, know what you want before you get down there and make sure that you don't just buy a one-way ticket if there's a chance you might need to fly back.
Oh, that's going to do it for this week. Hey, let's talk about our contest, shall we? Our contest is now in week 7 already. And our clue this week's a little less awkward than last week, but I think everyone's waiting one more week before they guess because next week's clue, well, that could be the linchpin for this particular game. We'll see. I don't think you can guess this week yet. Maybe you can throw long, but you might know where I'm headed this week. How's that for a clue? You might know where I'm headed, but you probably got to wait one more week for one more word. So you want to answer the question early next week, because here's the way it goes. If you're new to our little game, I entertain myself during our Friday shows and only the Friday shows. Monday and Wednesday, I entertain myself then too, but not with this game. I place clues within the first few minutes of the show. Over the course of several Friday shows, I spell out a question, write the answer to that question to me, Joe, at stackingbenjamins.com, and we'll hook you up with a $20 Amazon gift card and a prize pack I put together specifically for you. So let's talk about next week, shall we? Tucker the intern's here with best of episodes. While OG and I, we take a much needed week off. I can tell you this, when we come back, I've got 5 of the next 8 weeks already planned, and we've got some monster guests coming on the show. We'll have more guests not only on the Wednesday show, but also as voices on the roundtables on Monday. So it's exciting. I've also seen what Suzanne and PK have planned, and it's impressive. It's going to be a great end of the spring here on Stacking Benjamins the next 8 weeks. So for now, go check out Steve's show, Money Plan SOS, if you haven't heard it yet, and James Kinson's show, The Cash Car Convert. I'll have links to their iTunes pages and their Stitcher pages on the show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. We'll have a link there, and also to our sponsor, Magnify Money. Thanks to James and Steve for coming on the show to talk cash cars, and thanks to you for listening. going to say it one more time. It's been a fantastic 8-week run. The show, again, has continued our huge growth rate, and it's all because of you listening, telling your friends, and leaving us reviews wherever you listen. I can't thank you enough. So I'm super excited to see our community growing. Tuck of the Intern, back here next week with some of the best of episodes, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday next week, as we're helping you stack more Benjamins.
This show is the property of the Free Financial Advisor, LLC, copyright 2015. The show is edited by Josal Sihai and Isabella Bianca.
I love it when a plan comes together.
What was that?
It's called the medium sketch.
The medium sketch?
Yeah, it wasn't red.